Hello and welcome to BSN Extra. I'm your host, Jason Barfield. We've got a good show today. We're going to talk to Hannah Baker in studio. Hannah's going to chat with us about breaking the school record for most digs in a career. Then we're going to get into her journey and how she ended up at Sam Houston. After that, Bobby Williams will sit down and chat with us. We're going to talk about the Jacksonville State game, the first FBS game at Bauer Stadium, and what it meant for him to have that moment. All of that coming up right here on BSN Extra. Hey Bearcat fans, football season is right around the corner and we want you there. There is no better place to be in the fall than Bauer Stadium. So log on today and get your season tickets. You can get them by going to gobearcats.com/tickets, or you can do it mobily by logging into the Go Bearcats app. We want you there to be a part of this exciting time in Sam Houston history as the Cats begin the transition to FBS football and Conference USA. Eat them up, Cats. And welcome back to BSN Extra. Jason Barfield here, and I'm now joined by Hannah Baker. Hannah, welcome into our podcast studio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, exciting week for you. We'll just start off breaking the all-time school record for digs in a career. Just kind of talk me through the moment and what that was like going. You went into the match. You only needed one. Mm-hmm. So, you knew you were going to get it right off the bat. First couple of points, just kind of talk to me about the start of the match and just what that was like, just waiting for that moment.
I've been here, it's my fourth year here, so I don't get too nervous before games anymore. I'm confident in what I'm doing. So going to this game, I had some butterflies, and I was like, okay, this is kind of a foreign feeling. I haven't had this in a while. I was like, I just need one. I was like, if anything goes bad, just get one, then you can hop right out. But I was glad it was over once I got that dig. I felt free, like I could play after that.
Did it feel good going into it knowing you only needed one and you didn't have a number in your head like 12 or 14 where you were going to have to kind of keep track of what was going on or somebody was going to have to keep up? Did it feel good knowing you just had to get one and you knew you had it?
I think that was definitely a good thing. It definitely took some pressure off.
Now, you went on the road before that, and I think you needed like, 27 or something like that going on the road. Was it good, though, to be able to do it at home? That had to feel, I know you always want to break a record whenever you can break it, but it had to feel good to come back home to be able to do it.
Yeah, I talked to my parents and my family and all my friends that came down, and they were happy that they were able to see it in person and celebrate with me, so that was nice.
Did you know where you were as you were approaching the number? Or was it something like after each match you were like, okay, this is what I need?
My dad kind of keeps up that stuff. I'll get a text every once in a while. Hey, you're getting close. Hey, this is coming up. So he kind of keeps me like on track with that stuff.
Was it hard after you got it to kind of refocus then and get back into the match?
No, I'd say I was pretty locked in the whole time. I knew that this is a game that, we needed to win home. We needed to protect the house. So I was pretty engaged into the game.
So at what point, coming into this season, at what point did you start kind of keeping up, or did you keep up with kind of where you were in the career numbers?
I had set some pretty high goals for myself this season. I'm still striving to reach some of them. So I knew that this is something that I wanted to achieve. I think that I didn't expect it to come so early. I thought it kind of snuck up on me a little quick, but it was in my head.
I'd say you started moving up the charts rather quickly coming into the season. So just talk to me a little bit about kind of your game and what the approach that you take into a match is.
I wouldn't say I'm like superstitious, but I do have my rituals, my pregame rituals. I try to approach the same, practice game the same so I can get in a rhythm. I have my energy drink. I have my little spiral. I'm writing in it before games, writing down my goals, writing down team tendencies. We're getting hype in the locker room. I'm getting the girls together, saying our pregame rituals and stuff like that.
What was the response like from the teammates?
They're the best. They're always the best hype mans. Whenever we do anything big for each other, we had signs on the bench. They were cheering. They were going crazy. I appreciate them so much.
And this is a record that's been around for a good while. Jennifer Crone had the original record set in 1995. That was actually my freshman year. I was here to watch Jennifer play her last year. So this isn't like a record that's been beat, you know, and just, you know, next one in line. This is a record that's been around for a while. Does that add a little extra meaning to it for you?
Oh, for sure. I'm really hoping, taking my fifth year, that I can stay in this book as long as I can. That's the goal.
Just put it out of reach, huh?
Yes.
Make sure your name is at the top for a long time to come. I don't know if you saw this, but not too long after you broke the record, there was a tweet put up congratulating you with a graphic. I thought it was neat. The very first reply to that was from Jennifer Crone.
Oh, that is awesome.
Congratulations from her. She was the first reply to that. So I thought that was neat. I didn't know if you had seen that.
I haven't. I'll have to go back and respond.
So talk to me a little bit about just the journey for you. And, you know, going back to when you first decided to come to Sam Houston, what was the recruiting process like? And ultimately, why did you choose Sam Houston?
So I came to Brenda Gray's camp. I don't even know what year that was. I came with my best friend, Kenzie Morvent, who's currently on the team with me. I wasn't even looking at Sam. She was. She was talking to them. She was like, just come to the camp so I'm not alone. I was like, sure, I'll come. As soon as the camp ended, I got a phone call, and they were interested. And I just love Coach Gray, her energy. I mean, the program is just so family-like, and I knew that it was close to home, and it was like a big potential school for me. Then freshman year, I came in and I started right away. I think that the girls that I came in with were great. They were great leaders. They were friendly. They made me a part of the team immediately. And I just, ever since, I've just been rolling.
So when you're coming out of Deer Park, did you look at other, or was it once Sam Houston reached out, you knew that was that, or was there still kind of a process where you were looking other places and then was like, no, this is where I want to go?
I had an offer from another school, so it was between Sam and another school, also in the Southland Conference at the time, and I just knew that distance was the overall, like, decider for me.
So talk to me a little bit about just the career, and, you know, y'all have gone through so much just with everything that's happened over the last few years, you know, obviously with COVID and having to play a spring season and, you know, kind of some of the changes in the calendar and then changes in conference. What has this process been like for you?
COVID year was definitely interesting. You know, my senior year of high school, I didn't get to finish it. So I got a lot of things left out, and then coming into college, and it was still being super just strange and like nothing was ever set. It was a lot of moving around. Whenever we got the news that season wasn't happening, we had girls sobbing on the court. Like, it was a big deal, especially for our seniors. So I'm grateful that, like, we still got to play, but it was definitely different. So I always say that my sophomore season was my true freshman year, so because I finally got to experience what the real collegiate ball was like.
Because you just kind of jumped into a spring season, mm-hmm. and y'all were playing, what, conference games only. And that had to be a weird feeling for you, especially as a freshman, not having a taste of college volleyball yet.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
What was the biggest difference then, say, from that freshman year to getting into a more traditional sophomore season where you have the summer to prepare and then you go into a fall season?
I would say preseason is super helpful. I think, you know, we have all these tournaments that we play before conference starts to figure out what our lineup is, what's working best, like to figure out the kinks, like to go through all the fundamentals before you get straight into like playing sixes in practice and stuff like that. So not having like that, like playing other teams first before conference, was the biggest difference, I think.
So you've now played a Southland Conference season. You've played two seasons in the WAC.
Yes.
And now you're in a season of Conference USA. What changes kind of do you see from league to league?
I would say, well, competition one. I just think that has gone up each year I've been here, which I'm grateful for. I'm really excited to just keep playing bigger and bigger teams. I would say we've gotten some new gear this year. It's been kind of cool. And
I always love getting new gear,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, it's like Christmas Day whenever we walk in there. I don't know. I don't really know what else.
What has been kind of the focus for you guys coming into this season? What were some of the things that Coach was talking about that maybe y'all were going to have to do differently this year than what y'all have done in the past?
I mean, we're all in it together, us girls and the coaches, so we're all playing these teams for the first time together. Coach never seen them. We've never seen them. So scouting's been a little bit different, but I think the main focus for us was focusing on our side of the net and just staying engaged in ourselves and working on a lot of mental prep this season and really just focusing on how we can better ourselves before we can really walk in and look at other tendencies of other teams.
Let's say when you look at just the competition, what stands out the most about the difference between what you're seeing from, you know, the Florida Internationals and Jacksonville States and stuff like that, that maybe y'all haven't seen before?
I thought FIU had some pretty big girls. I think in some of our past conferences, like, you know, we're not too big, like, of a team. So seeing some bigger girls, that's been different. But it's a good thing. You know, the bigger they are, the harder they're falling.
When you look at just, you know, the schedule that you guys have played and kind of what's ahead, just talk to me a little bit about just some of the conversations y'all having as a team, as y'all looking to approach the schedule and kind of attack it week by week.
I think that's a great way to put it. We go game by game. I mean, we're coming in today, we're going 1-0, and then we're going to go in tomorrow, and we're going to go 1-0. Just taking each game at a time. Taylor Gray always makes sure we're engaged one point at a time. That's what we're trying to do. All out, all you can do one point at a time, and then refresh.
So when you look at, you know, kind of the goals that you guys set, what were some of the things that y'all talked about as a team? And then you said you've set some personal goals for yourself that you're still trying to reach. What are some of the goals that as a team y'all are trying to approach? And then individually, what were you trying to approach?
As a team, I think our goal right now is to make conference tournament. We want to be somewhere in that top eight so we can make it to tournament. And then some of my personal goals are Liber of the Year. I've been working for that one for a while now. The all-time dig record, that one. Just smaller goals, like making sure my digs per set is right every game, getting ace every game, trying to get my assist up every game. And then I've been looking at the record book for some other ones to beat. There's Addie Miller has the record for most digs in a season, so hopefully I can strive to get close to that one as well.
And you're having a strong season there when you look, you know, leading the nation in digs. And, you know, is that something you look at? You know, obviously you said you were looking at the record book, but are you kind of keeping tabs on where you stand nationally against the rest of the country?
Usually I don't, but this year I have. I think I'm still top five, which is awesome. I mean, like, that's crazy that I can hang up there for as long as I can. But usually we don't really look at the national. I mean, when we told Coach, he was like, man, I didn't even look at those. But again, my dad is always, he's always looking for something.
What is it like having your family be such a big part of this?
My dad's been my coach since day one. He's on me, and it's so great to have a support system here at Sam and then right back at home.
How often do they get up and get to watch you in person?
I have two little brothers, so now it's kind of their time to start getting into their sports. So not as often as in the past, but still whenever they can see a home game, they do come up here.
All right. So real quick, just kind of let's do some rundowns. Just some of your favorite things here in Huntsville. When you're not playing volleyball, what are some of the things that you like to do?
Humphreys. I love a good burger. Really don't do much besides go get some snacks. Sonic, if Sonic wants to hit me up, I'm at Sonic very frequently. I'm not sure.
Well, you kind of knocked out my next question. I was going to ask where your favorite place to eat was here town.
Humps is that's a classic. I feel like that's a Huntsville staple. Well, Potato Shack, another good one. I love getting that after games. Sevens. Seven Legs, is that how you pronounce it?
Yes. Yeah.
That's my family's tradition. After a home game, we'll go eat at Sevens.
Okay. Out on the road, do y'all get to eat anything unique, or do y'all kind of keep it basic when y'all are traveling? What does Coach Gray like to do for a pregame, postgame meal type stuff?
Well, Coach Gray could go without eating at all. She'd have a cup of yogurt and be good to go. So we're usually like, "Yo, Coach, when's lunch?" But we keep it pretty simple. I think it's routine, like sandwiches before games. If we need to get home quick, it's something quick on the bus home. And then usually some chicken for dinner.
Do you have a favorite trip that y'all have made since you've been here?
Oh, gosh. Last year in the WAC, we did a lot of fun traveling. I was just looking through some old pictures last night, actually, of just, like, going to different cities and exploring just a little bit. I think that's always fun if we have a moment to, like, go out and, like, do something. Like good team bonding before a game or after a game, something like that.
Okay. Well, appreciate you coming by once again. Congratulations on the record.
Thank you.
And yeah, you're just going to go ahead and shatter this thing and put it so far out of reach.
Thank you.
But appreciate you coming by. We'll be rooting for you guys the rest of the way.
Thank you.
Hey, Bearcat fans, if you're looking to keep up with the Cats, be sure and head to the Apple Store and download the all-new Bearcat Sports app. It is your one place to stay in touch with Bearcat Athletics, including game recaps, highlights, and live audio streaming of Sam Houston football and basketball. It is also a spot to be able to listen to your favorite Sam Houston podcast, including BSN Extra and the new Players Only Cat's Eye podcast. Check it out in the App Store. Search for Bearcat Sports. Eat them up, cats. And welcome back to BSN Extra. Jason Barfield here. We're taking the show on the road. We are in Lynchburg, Virginia right now, and I am joined by Bobby Williams. And Bobby, I've been wanting to get you on. I want to talk about the Jacksonville State game and just what were your impressions of just the overall atmosphere, the crowd, everything that went around the first home FBS football game.
Well, it was really exciting. I mean, I really appreciated the way the fans, alumni, and students all turned out. You know, we had a change in tailgate, moved it down to the lot down by the Coliseum, and that turned out to be amazing. I had some great pictures of that, especially when the band was performing. Just everybody seemed to be very positive about that move. And, you know, when you make a move like that, you get a little concerned about how it's going to be received, but just really positive. And then it just kept flowing right into the game, too. It was nice seeing we hadn't had a crowd like that with that type of enthusiasm and the size of the crowd probably since 2011 Montana semifinal game when the Sam Houston cheer started. So just really can't thank the fans and the students and alumni enough for how they supported our team.
Yeah, y'all want to start with the tailgate. You know, I had a chance to talk to Brianna Dodson a couple of weeks ago about the move and, you know, some of the changes that were going to place. And one of the things she really hit on was the move of Bearcat Alley, taking it from its spot where it was behind the video board, back in that back lot, and really bringing it out front. She wasn't sure what that was going to do, changing the space, changing the footprint. My perception of it, I thought it looked really good. You know, I think they had a really good turnout for it, and that's certainly something that's going to grow for them. Mm-hmm. But I think moving it to where it was, it just made everything around the stadium now feel like it's part of kind of the game day experience.
Really, and I mean, increase the fan experience, I think, as well. And you know, we've always felt like we would be very good on a Thursday night game or the midweek game, and I thought we'd have a good crowd. But I was really pleased pleasantly surprised that of the turnout. I mean, and just how the atmosphere went. People were excited. It was one of those moments where you walked around and everybody was just had a lot of energy and they were positive about the experience. And especially with us struggling early in the first three games, to have that type of presentation for the team was just really amazing.
Yeah, I'm sure from your side of things, you know, when you look at, obviously you want a big crowd and just the unknown of not knowing what to expect. What was it like for you during the day, kind of in the buildup of not really knowing exactly what the turnout was going to be like and the atmosphere was going to be like?
Well, it was like the old days when you played and your coach, that nervousness and anxiousness, and it was kind of like a roller coaster of emotion. Well, you know, this is an exciting day. We know how big this is. And then wondering if people were going to embrace it. And it was just so wonderful to see how they did that, standing on the sidelines, walking in the stands, just feeling the positive energy of so many of our fans and alumni and students. It was just, it was captivating, I think, and it was a great show on TV as well. It's everything that we dreamed of on the reason why we made this move, and especially playing a midweek game type situation. We were rewarded for it, and that's really positive.
You know, I think one of the things that stood out to me too, you know, obviously everything that went around it, but the band was incredible, cheer was incredible, just that whole atmosphere. I thought the band was about as lively and energetic as I've seen them.
No doubt. And that's the thing I was really excited about too, was how they came in. They just started it when they march in, and then throughout the game, how they were playing at the right times and different things like that. And then their halftime performance, I actually got to watch. I was up in the press box and had a little downtime so I could watch it, and they were loud, and it was just really exciting. And the spirit groups were amazing. I think we've got 90 to 100 in that group, and they were just, they filled the sidelines up, and they were just really energetic. And I can't thank both groups enough for the atmosphere and the fan experience that they provided.
You know, and we've touched on this before, but, you know, the fact that that game was also, it was ESPNU, I think added that extra element. And that's going to be something that, you know, we're going to have regularly now. I mean, we've still got an ESPN2 game coming up. Obviously, CBS Sports Network. How does that extra element add to this, do you think?
I think it's huge. I mean, we start off with the game in Houston, building a nice crowd from that standpoint. The Spirit Group and the band did a great job on that game too as well. And then our first game at Bowers. And we really need it this coming game coming up on ESPN2. That's going to be a big part. We need everybody to turn out again for that and just kind of own that midweek game in October.
So we're going with hashtag Party in the CUSA for all the midweek Conference USA games.
Well, do you have that copyrighted?
Because I know you're trying to make it happen.
We're going to do that. No limits on us and Party in the USA.
Party in the CUSA. Yep.
We'll have to play that song if we can get that.
I think now that we're a couple weeks now into these midweek CUSA games, they've been really good. And I think one of the things that obviously that y'all wanted when y'all were talking about this and the AD meetings and stuff like that was to start building some of that, you know, national attention. And I think through these first few midweek games, you're starting to see that already.
Well, and you hear on talk shows and different things like that, when they start talking about it, it is a positive presentation of what we're doing. And I think when you're seeing it on TV, and you saw the experience that we had and the other schools that have had it too as well, it's just going to keep building. And it's been some really good football games too that coincide with that, and that keeps everybody interested.
And I think we're going to see that with Conference USA. Looking at the teams and the way everybody's playing, I think they're going to be, more often than not, they're going to be these competitive, down-to-the-wire playing in the fourth quarter type football games.
And you see that. I mean, I know we're 0-4, but, I mean, we're extremely competitive and could very easily go the other way from wins situation, but you're seeing that across the board with some solid games and competitiveness. And if fans can turn in and come to the games and see it on TV, and it's somewhat the only game in town at that point in time, and it's good football, it'll just catch on even bigger and better.
I think that's been the big thing for me too, is been the casual fan who, I mean, even casual Sam Houston fans, people I went to college with who were texting me on Thursday night, mm-hmm. that had no idea that, you know, they don't keep up with social media a ton. They don't do a lot of that. And they're texting me like, this is incredible seeing Bowers on ESPNU right now.
Oh, no doubt. And I mean, and that's the impression that I'm getting from some of the texts that I get and comments is during the regular season in the fall. That didn't happen before. I mean, we captured it in the spring when we won the national championship and we played on some big networks and that type of thing. But even during the playoffs during December, it was kind of an afterthought. But during the regular season, having these type of experiences, people are recognizing. They're like, wow, where'd that come from? And that's what we've been able to capture. Now we got to keep building on it, get some good wins, and stay competitive and keep building on it as a conference and as a university.
Yeah, when you look at, you know, this Conference USA slate now, you know, every game in October, I saw a tweet the other day. It said, you know, Wednesday night started 49 straight nights of either college or pro football on TV. And a big part of that is the Conference USA midweeks that have made that happen. I think that says a lot about what Conference USA wanted to capture when they moved to these October midweek games.
Well, I think our commissioner, Judy McLeod's leadership in that, and the ADs, group, especially the schools that had been in Conference USA with all of an addition of us new, I think that vision and working and being open to this type of environment and this opportunity, I think it's really, really benefited everything. And now we're enjoying those decisions right now. Now we'll keep building on it and building a bigger brand and bigger opportunity for us as we move forward over the next few years.
Well, we're in Lynchburg getting ready to play Liberty. You know, I think one of the other neat opportunities here is, you know, getting a chance to get out and kind of see our peers, see what they do and see where the bar is, mm-hmm. you know, as we continue to look to improve and, you know, move things up. What are you looking forward to playing Liberty and getting to visit the stadium and everything like that?
Well, I'm really excited because I know they've done a really good job with their facilities. They've done a really good job of building their brand and their team too as well. And I've known Ian McCall, their AD, since he got to Baylor in 2003, I believe. And so I know he's done a really good job of getting this athletic program in the great situation that they're in. And it's just nice to see. You know, we've been, ironically, we played at BYU in a great atmosphere. Then we were at home at NRG and then played another game in Houston too against U of H and in our home game. So now getting out and seeing what everybody else is doing at different places that we've never been, that's really exciting. And it helps us on how we're implementing our plan and what we want to accomplish moving forward.
Yeah, the smallest crowd we've played in front of so far this year is 14,500.
And I said Bowers, and that was pretty good.
And we're in mid-October, so that's certainly a change.
And, you know, and another change, too, is I think we're averaging almost 20,000 for the NRG game and the Bowers game. And that has never happened in the history of Sam Houston football, never, in back-to-back home games, so to speak. And that's really exciting. And that's really a great credit to our marketing staff, the fans, the alumni, university, everybody engaging this and just making that happen. So hopefully at our next home game, we can do the same thing and keep building on that.
Yeah, it certainly is a team effort across the board. When you look at all the entities on campus and everything like that through the department, of building and getting that messaging out there. And I think it showed on Thursday.
If you really remember when I said, because I talked about our move that we made back in the 80s and the university was not behind it back then and we struggled. And I knew that as we made this move, that university had to be behind it in every way, especially the marketing and the branding aspect of it. Just not having athletics on the island, so to speak. And that is happening, and it's paying off for us by what's happening. And seeing with attendance, you're seeing with the excitement and energy and the positive reaction that we're getting.
All right. Well, Bobby, appreciate you sitting down and talking to us on the road here in Lynchburg as we continue to get through this first season of FBS football. So appreciate you sitting down and talking.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode. Once again, congratulations to Hannah Baker on breaking the all-time career digs record. And like she said, she's going to end up putting that record out of reach pretty much altogether. So we'll be back shortly. Also, check out our other podcast offerings, Cat's Eye. Jalen Phillips, Lewis Rowe do a great job on that podcast. Go check that one out as well. And we'll chat with you soon here on BSN Extra.
This week's episode is recorded in the all-new studios in the Wood Forest Bank Athletics Center. This episode was written and produced by Jason Barfield. All music is courtesy ScottHolmesMusic.com. This has been a presentation of the Bearcat Sports Network.